The month of March has been set aside to honor women. March is National Women's History Month. March 8th is International Women's Day. It's observed by women around the world and has been adopted by the United Nations as a universal day to honor women. The observance of March 8th as Working Women's Day can be traced back to a march and demonstration in New York City in 1857. This demonstration was staged by female garment and textile workers to protest inhuman working conditions. International Women's Day was first proclaimed for this date at the International Conference of Women in Helsinki, Finland in 1910. We find our stories through the hallows of time, through the corridors, byways, and sidewalks of history. Our stories jump out at us, taken by surprise in their locked-up corners, chained to the walls of the past of men. They leap into presence, creating, becoming the true free past and present of women. We reclaim, see our stories through the cleansing, freeing mirror of women's history. We have to begin with our own personal stories. So let me tell you about a notebook of mine. When I was getting ready to leave New Jersey and go to California to study at Star King School, I found in the attic a loose-leaf notebook full of pages in my own writing. Pages I had written about 20 years earlier when I first went into psychotherapy. I had difficulty talking, so the therapist suggested that I write down my thoughts and bring them in to discuss. The interesting thing about the notebook is that the only pages left in it were those that I decided not to show the therapist. I felt that they were too confused and too crazy, that he would not understand. But as I read them over 20 years later, I sat there in the attic and cried. I was raising questions that a few years later would be raised by many other women, and the questions were as clear as they could be. Why am I expected to choose between a family and a profession when men can have both? Why is there no place to leave my children while I go to school? Why am I the only woman in my neighborhood going to graduate school? Why am I the only woman in most of my classes? Why is it healthy for me to be dependent on my husband, but not on my parents? Why is it wrong for me to want my own money? And on and on and on. I never showed those pages to anyone. I hid them in the attic. I did not trust my own experience. I thought I was crazy. No one else seemed to be raising such questions in the 1950s. The great theologian Paul Tillich said that we have to find the courage to be our authentic selves. Probably the most difficult struggle I've had in my life has been to trust my own perceptions. Because the minute I say yes to myself and my own view of the situation, I find that I am in conflict with almost everything around me. That's scary. We need to realize that all of our science, all of our history, all of our literature, all of our art, all of our religions, all of our philosophy, all of our government, all of our justice, all of our goals, the very language we speak, have been written, designed, and constructed by and for the benefit of males. But male facts do not always fit in with the empirical data of female experience. For women to tap the power of authentic selfhood is to be painfully aware of the myriad ways in which society works against the expression of female experience. Women's experience, for the most part, has not been recorded. Where it was recorded, it has often been erased, or trivialized. Take another well-known theologian, Ernst Troeltsch, for example, well-known among theological students anyway. Early in the 20th century, he ended his long history of the Christian churches by saying that the only religion possible for modern people would be one based upon our own life experience. Who, me? My experience? Well, maybe not. I took a full semester course on the works of Ernst Troeltsch. The man wrote volumes, and we read volumes, and nowhere in all that writing did he ever once mention women. So I said that one day in class, and another student piped up and said, "No, you're wrong. On page 256 of volume 2, there's a footnote where he mentions women." Or the distinguished professor of history from Columbia University. He gave a brilliant lecture about how the American Revolution was a work in progress. His example was the vote, how originally only people who owned land could vote, and only later did non-landowners, then blacks, and then Native Americans get the vote. Then he ended his lecture and asked for questions. Of course, I felt I had to ask why he left out the rest of the story, the fact that women, half of the population, were the last to get the vote. Even a woman as well-educated and as sensitive to women's situation as Simone de Beauvoir wrote in 1949, "Women have no past, no history, and no religion." Well, she was wrong. We know now that women have a rich past, an illustrious history, and a great variety of religious experience. It just hasn't been taught in the schools. I believe that all of us, women and men, need to know the female half of our human heritage. One of the most enduring religions of the ancient world, lasting over 2,000 years, was that of the great mother-daughter mysteries at Eleusis. Just absorb that for a moment. The mother-daughter mysteries? That is not what we're accustomed to hearing. We need very much to hear more about our female roots. And of course, it isn't just our religious history we need to know about, but all kinds of contributions to culture made by our female ancestors. So here is a small, very small sampling. Ishtar, the great goddess, giver and taker of life, revered for centuries in Mesopotamia as she who led us out of chaos, as the great lawgiver, as the lady of justice and compassion. Hatshepsut, mighty ruler of the 18th dynasty of Egypt, who said, "My command stands firm like the mountains, and the sun's disk shines and spreads rays over the titulary of mine august person, and my falcon rises high above the royal banner unto all eternity." Enheduanna, the world's earliest recorded poet, a priestess of ancient Sumer, author of beautiful hymns to the goddess Inanna. Gomar, priestess of the goddess Asherah and wife of the prophet Hosea. Sappho, lyric poet of ancient Greece and renowned teacher of the arts of poetry, music, and dance. Hypatia, Roman scholar and philosopher, head of the university at Alexandria. Theodora, actress and Byzantine empress. Deeply concerned about the well-being of women, she issued a decree making it illegal, punishable by death, to entice a woman into prostitution. And she turned one of her palaces into a refuge where prostitutes could go to start new lives. She passed laws protecting women from mistreatment by their husbands, saw to it that women could inherit property, and instituted the death penalty for rape. Bridget, The fiery arrow, known in ancient Ireland as the goddess of fire and inspiration, of poetry, smithcraft, and healing. When Christianity came to Ireland in the 5th century, her name was given to an abbess who founded the first convent in Kildare. She is known to Christians as Saint Bridget. Young women gathered around Bridget and founded a sisterhood devoted to teaching and charity. It became a great center of learning where the arts flourished. Beautiful illuminated manuscripts and exquisitely crafted metalwork were produced. Trotula of Salerno, renowned physician, author, and professor at the university. Her book, Diseases of Women, was consulted for 700 years after her death. She was the first doctor to give advice on the care of newborn infants, and throughout her writings, she stressed hygiene, cleanliness, and exercise. When she died in 1097, her casket was attended by a procession of mourners 2 miles long. Petronilla de Meath, one of the first women to be tortured and burned as a witch in 1324. Despite the spread of Christianity throughout Europe, much of the local population clung to the traditional worship of the mother goddess. These practices became known as witchcraft, and the church became more and more threatened by the power of these old religions. The extent of the witch hunting craze was much wider than is commonly thought. Estimates vary from 1 to 6 million people who were killed, mostly women. And the lights grew dim for women, and yet they continued to survive and to achieve. Roswitha, Germany's earliest poet and dramatist, the first playwright of medieval Europe. She studied Latin and Greek, philosophy, mathematics, and music. The keynote of her dramatic work was its celebration of women. Elizabeth I, Queen of England, one of the greatest rulers of the Western world and among the most erudite of women of the 16th century. During the 45 years of her reign, the country prospered and grew and enjoyed a cultural renaissance. She established the right to a fair trial and organized governmental relief for the old, the infirm, and the poor. Caroline Herschel, astronomer, and one of the leading women of science in the 18th and early 19th centuries, first woman to discover a comet. In 1798, the Royal Astronomical Society published 2 catalogs of stars she had compiled, and in 1825, she completed her own work by presenting a star catalog of 2,500 nebulae and clusters to the Royal Society. Sojourner Truth, abolitionist and feminist, a former slave who traveled the country on foot, lecturing on the evils of slavery and the necessity for women's rights. "Look at me," she demanded. "Look at my arm. It's plowed and planted and gathered into barns, and no man could head me. And ain't I a woman?" Elizabeth Cady Stanton, one of the giants of 19th century feminist movement, she devoted her life to the struggle for equal rights, demanding education, suffrage, and the reform of property and divorce laws. She was one of the first to see that patriarchal religion keeps women in bondage. She wrote, "I do not believe that God inspired the Mosaic Code or told historians what they say he did about woman, for all the religions on the face of the earth degrade her. And so long as woman accepts the position that they assign her, her emancipation is impossible. Whatever the Bible may be made to do in Hebrew or Greek, in plain English, it does not exalt or dignify woman." Marie Sklodowska-Curie, discoverer of radioactivity and radioactive elements such as radium, winner of 2 Nobel Prizes, one in physics, one in chemistry, first woman to obtain a full professorship at the Sorbonne. She's one of my personal favorites, and I never learned about her in school, I learned about her because a movie was made about her life and work. Zora Neale Hurston, novelist and folklorist, dedicated to the preservation of black culture. She traveled throughout the South collecting folklore and mythology. She received a Guggenheim Fellowship to pursue her work and published several collections, novels, and an autobiography. Margaret Sanger, convener of an international birth control congress in 1925, arrested repeatedly from the time she opened her first birth control clinic in 1918. She lectured around the country and insisted that without the right to control their own bodies, all other rights for women are meaningless. And Eleanor Roosevelt, distinguished First Lady, she created a bridge between the presidency and the people with speaking tours, a newspaper column, and radio broadcasts. From 1945 to 1952, she was a delegate to the United Nations Assembly and chair of UNESCO's Commission on Human Rights. In 1949, she wrote about the process of creating the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. She said, "One significant change was made after a very long debate, and that was the decision to change Article 1. The original words read, 'All men are created equal.' As it was finally worded, it reads, 'All human beings are born free and equal in dignity and rights.'" She explains that the women on the committee felt that if the declaration said all men, that it might easily be said that this declaration did not apply to women. And they wanted to make quite clear that this was a universal declaration. So let us rejoice in the great goddesses and the talented women of ancient times. Let us praise the strong women who went before us in modern times. Let us rejoice in the Odyssey of Woman.